Hey docs, welcome to the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm the host, Dr. Sharon McLaughlin. We are the premier location where women physicians learn about business so that they can have the freedom to live their best life. We have this podcast, we have a supportive community of over 9,000 women physicians, we create opportunities for each other, and we network. We have a summit twice a year, which is absolutely free. I've created a journal to take a deep dive into what you really want. Lastly, we've created a business school. It's all about community and accountability. We're going to have masterclasses, we're going to have group coaching, and we're going to have actionable steps. You'll be given a blueprint for your business. And this will launch September 2022. Come and learn from industry experts, because I truly believe that not one person knows it all. And the more people that you listen to, you'll have better ideas. We're going to have brainstorming sessions as well, but it truly is all about community and accountability. Make sure you get on the early bird pricing. That will be $500 for the full year. Yes, you heard me right, $500 for the full year. You don't need a high ticket item to learn about business. I've been through this before, I've built up other businesses, I've helped other people, and if we all come together, which I'm planning on doing, you'll see that we're going to have a ton of value at a very low cost price. On top of that, I want you to witness how this can be done. So come and join me as I build out our Female Physician Entrepreneurs Business School. You will be absolutely amazed. Hey everybody, thanks so much for being here today. Today we have Dr. Ashley Tyrell, who is going to be speaking about opening up her practice. So many of us are caught in corporate medicine, we're unhappy and we feel stuck. So we have a series going on, and I'm so thankful that a few of the female physician entrepreneurs have stood up and said, I'll be willing to help. They're available for consulting if you need to reach out. Ashley, thank you so much for doing this today. Tell me how you got started, what happened, you were practicing medicine and then things changed. Tell us.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm a pediatrician. After graduating residency, I worked as a pediatric hospitalist. I enjoyed that. I do a lot of newborn nursery type work. I missed continuity with patients and having that relationship. And I would occasionally cover the clinics in my hospital system. And the first few patients, I would love it. And I would consider going back to outpatient. And then I would just get slammed with the rest of the day seeing 25 patients. And by the end of the day, my head was full, they all blended. And I just felt like the quality wasn't what I wanted. So then I ran back to hospitalist work, where I can spend quality time with my patients. I could always spend as much time. If I had to leave for an emergency, I could always come back because they were hospitalized. I appreciated the quality of care and the time I could spend working in the hospital, but I missed the outpatient aspect. My practice is different because I'm the primary provider for my family right now. My husband had a career change a few years ago, and I have three kids. They're all under five. I felt like I could do very low risk. I started looking into having my own practice, and then every time I looked into it, I got intimidated with all the factors and the risk, and I would kind of run back to my hospitalist job. And I was on Facebook groups, which was just such a great resource of information. And I joined DPC practice Facebook groups, and I joined house call groups. And I just started learning about different options and the huge variety of ways you can run your own practice. I always loved house calls because it was just such a personal way of giving care. It was, the quality was so good and they were so fun. And it was such a special time with the family, with the new baby. And I started actually, there'd be nurses at my hospital who would have a baby and would be struggling with breastfeeding or struggling with whatever. And they just didn't have that much time with their pediatrician. They would reach out to me. I would go to their home. And so I had a number of home visits kind of unofficially. And I just thought I could totally do this. And long story short, after reaching out to strangers on the Facebook groups who were doing home visit practices, and you know, the first time I talked to someone, I talked to her for almost an hour about her practice, I think in Texas, and it seemed realistic for the first time. But then I got scared with needing to hire a lawyer and the accounting and the business aspects, so I didn't do it. And then a few months later, I came back around to the idea, and slowly I just got the guts to do it. And my practice has evolved over the last couple of years. It's all in-person visits or home visits. So I don't have a clinic. So my overhead is very low. I don't have any staff. I do direct primary care, which means I don't have the headache of insurance. When I first signed up, I tried to work with some insurance companies. I wanted to get reimbursed for vaccines, for example. And I spent hours on the phone. It was just such a headache. I could see why private practice has to hire billers to fight them, because it's just so hard to get anywhere. So over the last 2 years that I've had my practice, I've evolved and have made it, you know, really fit my lifestyle. I still work at the hospital. I actually have been off for 6 months because I had another baby. So I have a 5-month-old now. I'll be going back to the hospital in a month. But yeah, that's kind of how I got the idea and started doing it. And it's just evolved to fit me and my lifestyle and my patients.
Tell me about building the practice, since you don't take cash, right? You're in competition with people that do take insurance. For somebody talking to you, needing help, how would you tell them as far as differentiating yourself, and how do you actually get patients?
Yeah. So my practice is very different. So it's not hard to differentiate myself. Every time I tell someone about my practice, they say, oh, that's great. Oh my gosh, I would have loved to have that when I had a baby. Or, oh my God, every mom I talk to love it, because I have such a close relationship with my patients. They can call or text me anytime. The visits are at home. Most of my care is actually virtual. So I save them in-person visits. And because I work so directly, sometimes I've checked an ear at the playground on the weekend before. Like, I can just do what I need to do to take care of my patients. And they all know me, you know, I'm in my family and I know them. So it's a very unique type of practice, and it's pretty great. Everyone seems to love the idea, but yeah, a lot of people don't want to pay for it. They'd rather use their insurance, which is totally fine. We have a lot of really good in-network insurance providers in our area. So it's definitely, when somebody is on the fence, I say, no problem. I have tons of people I could recommend. So I never put pressure. I'm always looking for patients whose families really fit me. And I notice I get a few types of patients. I have some patients that are very hesitant towards medicine or vaccine hesitant, and their pediatricians just don't have the time to talk to them. So I've definitely become an expert in vaccines and how to have those conversations, and they can be time consuming. And then I have other patients that, you know, are really afraid of COVID and they don't want to go into the clinic, or who just have higher needs, like children with autism, or don't do well going to the doctors. What I did when I was first starting out, and I decided I wasn't going to take insurance because insurance would not reimburse for home visits. They won't reimburse for the text messages or you're being available to your patient. And they put all these rules that I didn't want to have to do just because they gave me a rule, even though it doesn't make sense or apply to my patients. So I decided to not take insurance. I learned about the direct primary care model, where it's membership based. And I liked that because I don't like nickel and diming my patients. I don't like thinking about the business on the first of the month. All the cards on file just run automatically and I get paid, and I can just give the best care I can to my patients. They reach out when they need me. When I was getting started, it was hard to know how much to charge because there's nobody else who does exactly like me in the area. There's a couple other doctors who do concierge medicine and have similar type practices. So we all work together. We cover each other now. I consider them friends. So at the time I asked them how much they charged, and I looked at a bunch of different prices. I'm a member of some of the moms clubs. So I interviewed a bunch of the moms. I told them my idea for my practice. I asked them how much they thought it would be valued. They gave me numbers that were way higher than I was thinking. So that was kind of good. And I set a price point. And the first few months I was talking myself blue, telling people about my practice and trying to market myself. And everybody said it was a great idea, but no one actually signed up. I mean, I had a few. I had people at the hospital who asked if they could be my pediatrician. And I kind of felt I really didn't want to market or try to steal patients from that. I just wanted to be the patients who are looking for my type of practice. I wanted them to be able to find me. I reached out to doulas and midwives because those families tend to like kind of a little bit more personal care. And I did moms clubs events, and I made a few Facebook advertising. And actually, what worked for me best, everybody says advertising for to be a pediatrician doesn't work in our field, you know, but actually it worked really well for me because what I did, you know, I tried to optimize my SEO. I made my website myself. I did everything I could. I talked to people about advertising, and I thought about sending out flyers. I hated advertising because, again, I didn't want to feel like I was begging people to come to me. I just wanted people who wanted a pediatrician like me to, I just wanted to be connected with them. So what worked for me though, actually was Yelp and Google Ads, because I got a few, I got some reviews from people who knew me and whose kids I took care of. So I had good reviews. And when you do an ad, it just, it basically brings you to the top of your, of the search results. When getting started, I could literally Google my name and I wouldn't even be on the top page. I'd have all these different specialty doctors in different cities pop up before me. So I had no chance of someone actually finding me if they were looking for me. Even though I had set up the SEO, I did all this research, I read books and trying to figure out how to get to the top of search engines. But when I paid for the ads, magically I popped up and you can tell them what to look for. So I, at first I did direct primary care pediatrics. A lot of people don't know that model in my area because there isn't many of us. And so I did concierge medicine. I did holistic medicine because a lot of people who are looking for me are looking for that approach. And I have this philosophy that most pediatricians are holistic at their baseline. You know, if a kid comes to us for constipation, we don't want to throw Miralax. We would way rather them change their diet and fix their environment, but we don't have time to go through, you know, this extensive history with them. So we say, you know, increase fiber and water in your diet, take Miralax till it gets better. We don't have time to explain it or explain anything. So it allows me to be more holistic, even though I always make it very clear I'm not a naturopath. I have an MD. I trained at UCF Benioff in Oakland or CHO. So I definitely believe in evidence-based medicine, but I have this holistic flair that I think most of us would prefer if we had more time to really dig into it. So anyway, by paying for ads, it's pretty expensive, but basically when someone searches that topic, and I would really limit the geographic location, I would suddenly pop up and I started getting phone calls. And after about 4 months, I was able to take down my ads and I naturally lined up on the organic searches after that. And now I don't have to advertise. I have calls. And then once you get established, you start getting referrals from current patients and it takes off.
Ashley, initially, did you need help setting up those ads? Did you read articles? How did you do that?
I did it all myself. You know, it's funny because when I first sat down to make my business, I made a list of everything to do and it looked fairly simple. And it did take a lot more time than I anticipated. So I made my own website, which when you first start, in retrospect, it was a great thing to do because now I can modify it easily. I understand how it works, but I'd never made a website. There was a huge learning curve. It took me like a month of regular work to make the website how I wanted. I actually hired a few people to look at it and give me suggestions, and they made suggestions and I didn't take them because I just wanted it the way I wanted it. And it's kind of been modified over the years. So I had a website. I chose Wix to make the website, and then you can set up an SEO through them. And there's a bunch of stuff you could read. I did talk to a few people to try to get set up advertising, but they're expensive. It's an ongoing fee and it just takes time for the search engines to pick up. Even if you have the best people working on it, it just takes time because it's an algorithm that learns from itself. So actually Yelp, I got a lot of people from Yelp too. I still do. So it's actually pretty easy to set up your own ads. When you go to Google My Business or Yelp Business, Yelp Biz, it's pretty straightforward. Again, there is a learning curve. When I set it up, you can always talk to Google. Isn't very responsive as far as helping, but Yelp is pretty good. You can talk to their specialists, and I would talk to them about what I wanted, the target audience, the geographic location, and they helped, you know, maximize my ad. And they try to upsell all different kinds of bells and whistles on the ad. Like they're like, oh, you can have this extra button to have people press it if they want to schedule an appointment. And I was like, no, I don't want any of that. I just want someone who is searching for me to come up on the search result. That was just all I wanted, is for them to find my website and to see if I'm the right type of pediatrician they're looking for.
Ashley, great information, really, you know, as far as the ads. I know Facebook in itself, if you guys are thinking that, they're always changing, but it's still good to have a good baseline. And certainly with the Google that you mentioned and Yelp, I didn't even think about doing Yelp, but it makes sense for doing local areas or brick and mortar, or like in your case, your locals. So that's wonderful for households.
And you know, what's nice about the ads is you don't have to really make them. I mean, you tell them what you want it to say, but the way they make the ads, it almost looks organic in the sense where it just brings your website to the top of the search. Like someone searches, you know, a concierge pediatrician. I popped up at the top with my website. And there's a few bullet points so that just says concierge medicine, holistic pediatrician, home visit pediatrician, and then you click on it. So it doesn't have this cheat. When I did the Facebook ad, it was an actual ad. And I think people see that and they don't want, that makes it look like you're desperate for patients. And I just, again, I didn't want to feel like I was pushing it on anyone. I just wanted to be searchable. So Yelp and Google for me was really jump-started my baseline, because I didn't start off with any patients. I didn't come, some people transition from a previous clinic or their own private practice to DPC. For me, I started with no patients. And then I kind of made a rule that I wasn't going to take patients from my hospital. My very first patient was someone who delivered at my hospital and asked if I would be a pediatrician. But after that, it got kind of mucky. And my hospital is a county hospital. So it's also, you know, people on Medicare, and there's a bunch of kind of, there's a risk of losing that insurance if you pay for your care. And there's some people talk about roundabout ways. I just wanted to keep things clean separate.
Tell us if people need help, they want to start doing this, whether it's telemedicine or whether it is house calls in the area. How do they get a hold of you?
So they can email me. My email is atyrrell, TYRRELMD@gmail.com. Or, you know, you can go to my website, drashleypediatrics.com. You know, when I was getting started, I had a lot of help and I wasn't shy about it. I joined a bunch of groups. People who seemed friendly and posted a lot, I would just message them and see if I could pick their brain. I talked to so many people doing different variations of what I do, and I just learned a lot, and different problems come up and I would, you know, post it to the group, see how people were doing it. So I guess one of my biggest pieces of advice is don't be shy, talk to people, don't just reach out. I'm always happy to support people doing it, because I'm just very grateful for people who supported me. Yeah.
Thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.